Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Yeah, I was going to start Dion Lewis, but I remember that you were a Pats fan. I was like, you know what? Why the heck not?
Well, I mean, I hope you're right, and I'm sure you hope I'm right.
Special guest Armando Crespo of the Eat Sleep Fantasy podcast and the Thursday Night Football preview. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to a surprising edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader. Surprising because it features the Miami Dolphins, who sit at 4-2 against the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday night. And we'll have that preview coming up for you later on in today's podcast. And that is the surprise. Actually, that's not a surprise. You should know by now that we do the Thursday night previews every Wednesday on this particular podcast. And if you don't want to miss a show, you just subscribe to it on iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, AHA Radio, anywhere great podcasts are heard, whatever app you desire. The Next Fan Up podcast should be available there for you. And if it's not, you can send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com, and we can get that fixed. We'll get your favorite podcast on your favorite podcasting app. You can also tweet us at NFU Podcast, and you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. You can talk with us there. We have no problems talking with you on any of those platforms. So please feel free to reach out. If you want to be a super fan, you can send those emails in. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's a job that's been available for a while now. The New York Jets is a position that will be becoming available here very soon. Unfortunately, our Jets super fan is moving on to bigger and better things, and we wish him the best. But we do need a representative for one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. But it's true. So if you want to be that super fan, you can join us nextfanup@gmail.com. All right. That'll do it for the business portion of this podcast. Now let's bring you the interview portion. It's my pleasure now to bring in our very special guest. He is one of the co-hosts of the Eat Sleep Fantasy podcast, which is also a member of the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. It is Armando. Hello, Armando. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me, Pod.
It's my pleasure. Pleasure to have you. You're a rookie in the fantasy league. So how have things been going? How have you been feeling so far?
I feel pretty good about my roster. It's not elite by any means, but it's clean, and it's has a starter at every position I feel comfortable with. No one's super out of this world, you know, but they're going to get me enough points to win weeks here and there.
And you are technically in second place in the league. There's three of us that are tied with a 5-2 record, I being one of them. So at the end of this week, one of us will have an extra loss, or we could tie. I have been known to do ties in the past.
I hope not. I really hope not.
I think with the fractional scoring, we should avoid a tie. But yeah, we were just talking right before we started how I feel like this year, more so than any other years, that parity has really come to fantasy football. And it's more than just this league. I mean, I'm looking at this and there's really only two teams that I would label as out of it. And even out of it is kind of unfair to them. Although maybe Team Latsky, who represents the Fantasy Draft Sharks at 1-6, it's going to be really tough for him to get back into it.
Yeah, he's smelling elimination one more week and he's out.
But Fantasy Insider Joel Hennard, I mean, at 2-5, he's really only three games out of making the playoffs.
Yeah, he's really still in it. He has a great team looking at it now, so I wouldn't count him out by any means.
I mean, and that goes towards what we were sort of talking about too, is that, you know, even though I'm in a tie for first place and leading my division, there are four other teams in my division that are outscoring me and handily outscoring me.
Yeah, it's all about scheduling. It feels like you just luck out and get the W's here and there.
What was sort of your strategy heading into the season, knowing that you're playing against quote unquote experts?
Not to really target anyone individually, like everyone says, just go for best player. I did make one little mistake. I took Lamar Miller over Zeke. I was kind of convinced he was going to be out, and I'm stuck with Lamar Miller the rest of the way. So I was just trying to take the best player available here and there.
I mean, it's really good advice for any fantasy league that you decide to join.
Yeah.
Did you draft Doug Martin or did you pick him up?
Oh no, I drafted him. I reached for him. I was convinced he would be a decent RB2, if not RB1, if Lamar Miller didn't shape up.
Nice. That was a good pick on your part. How about Deion Lewis? He didn't start off strong, but he's certainly coming on now for the Pats.
I actually got him last week in free agency. I was really happy about that.
That's me not paying attention. And now I'm in trouble because Marshawn Lynch suspended for at least a game. Well, maybe he could get it overturned. Who knows? Maybe the plea by Marcus Peters will get his suspension overturned.
I think it was just upheld, actually. I just got a notification.
Yeah. Literally just now?
Pretty soon. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I feel good. I feel great. I have Jalen Richards, so I'm like, maybe I'll start him against you.
That would not be very nice of you, but feel free. Go ahead.
No, not against Buffalo.
It would be just as devastating for me for you to start Marshawn's backup as it would be to face the Patriots you have on your team in Chris Hogan and Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to start Deion Lewis, but I remember that you were a Pats fan. I was like, you know what? Why the heck not?
Let's do it. It's a knife in my back. Honestly, this was a week that I knew was coming. This was sort of I'm chalking it up as an automatic loss week because I didn't do well in stocking up on running backs. And I had a bunch of guys that are on bye. And so I'm stuck now playing with guys that I had drafted in the late rounds. But like I said, I haven't been fishing on the waiver wire unless I really needed it. Like Adrian Peterson was a waiver wire. No, he was not a waiver wire. I drafted him late.
That's a good draft pick, actually.
And held on to him. Like,
yeah, that's bold.
that was the thing there. So yeah, it's been a weird season for me and I haven't really been scouring the waiver wire and improving my bench, and that's where I'm paying for it now.
Yep. There hasn't been a lot of amazing waiver wire ads if you're not counting Hunt. I mean, everyone's just been and then you end up dropping them after a few weeks. So I don't blame you.
What do you do if you're not necessarily in a last place situation, but I mean, right now our standings are super tight. There's three of us that are sitting at 5-2. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 at 4-3, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at 3-4. So I mean that is a whole bunch of people to still be alive. I mean, what do you do as one of those teams to help improve your position at this point?
I mean, what I would do personally, start consolidating my talent, even if I'm losing in a trade, I would try and, you know, upgrade a starting position. There's no reason for you to worry about who you have on your bench at this point. Just try and upgrade a starter here and there and just build that roster up, start scoring more points. Because in the end, if you're down by a few games, the point differential is what's going to separate you from everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing. If we all end up the season and it's looking like that, there's going to be a whole bunch of teams with winning records. We mentioned there's only four teams that are going to make the playoffs out of this 14-team league. So if there's a whole bunch of us tied at 4-3, somebody's not going to make it in. And if I'm that team, I'm in some deep trouble because my team doesn't score points.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the points that you've been looking at here in the last few weeks on your own podcast? What are you recommending to players right now as the season has gone along?
Well, on our podcast, I was just talking to my partners about, like, I would never recommend streaming quarterbacks ever again. It just feels like everyone's saying the same thing and everyone's stockpiling two quarterbacks. And then when you lose someone like Aaron Rodgers, there's no one for you to pick up. You're stuck looking at Trevor Siemian or, you know, Josh McCown. So right now I would say trade for Alex Smith if you can. Get yourself someone that's consistent, because if you lose your quarterback, there's no one out there for you.
It's very true. I've never been a believer in streaming quarterbacks. I've always been a points is points guy, and exactly. Quarterbacks score the most points. So I always try and get myself a high quality starting quarterback on my team.
100% agree with that this year. I definitely agree with that now.
You know, the running back position, like I mentioned, I didn't do well in stocking up running backs. I don't want to say I ignored it. I mean, LeSean McCoy was my number one pick.
but I certainly didn't do myself any favors in terms of running backs. And that seems to be a harder position maybe to stream these days too.
It's kind of crazy. Like, no one's popping out anymore. I mean, Darko was the biggest ad the past couple of weeks, and he's nobody. Deion Lewis is a nobody. Like, no one's popping out this year at all. It's usually really easy to find an RB2, you know, throughout, you know, midway point. And there's just no one that's really popping out this year. It's a weird year.
How about at some of the other positions? What have you seen going on with the tight ends? You know, it seems like another one of those positions where if you didn't get one of the top tight ends, and has Gronk really been Gronk this year?
Doesn't feel like it at all, does it? I wouldn't even rank him in the top tight end this year. I know that's, you know, it's blasphemy and all, but man, I love Ingram. He's consistent. You know, he's going to be out there right now. Gronk makes me nervous. He's not going to be out there week to week. Sometimes Austin Severin Jenkins is getting so many targets. Ertz has been amazing. Like, personally, I'd rather have those three guys over Gronk at this point. They're consistent. They're out there. It's kind of weird. It's a weird year for tight ends. Like, there's a lot of deep guys that are really emerging.
It's turning out to be a weird year overall in terms of the NFL and in fantasy. It's just, right? You know, last week was one of those where, you know, the Bears somehow pull off a victory, but Mitch Trubisky's only completes awful. Four passes.
Like, God awful.
How does that happen? I mean,
they're going to make the playoffs. Just watch.
they cannot make the playoffs. That's impossible. I mean, you know, Cam Newton, you know, starts off slow. Has the game against the Patriots. I was like, don't believe it yet. It was the Patriots. They're the 32nd defense. And then he continues to show it. And then has that down game against the Bears. It's just sort of, everybody seems to be up and down. You know, should be an up week for the, or I'm sorry, this should be a down week for the Jaguars, but they're on their bye. I don't even know how I'm going to predict what the Jaguars are going to do next out of the bye week.
I know. Hopefully Leonard's back and he's healthy, or else, you know, everyone's going to be running to the wire to pick up Yeldon. So we'll see what happens.
Yeldon was a guy that I had in a couple of my other leagues.
Really?
That I finally gave up on. Oh, wow. So while I drafted Adrian Peterson and held on to him, Yeldon was a guy that I drafted and finally gave up on, and he exploded.
Yeah. I thought for some reason he was going to be the PPR guy, you know, the pass catching back. It didn't happen. And I ended up dropping him as well.
You know, sometimes you win them and sometimes you lose them. That's pretty much the status of the game. Do you play the daily game at all?
I try not to. It's addictive. I did it last year. I did the year before, but it's really addicting. And I'm just trying to just focus on my, you know, yearly game versus day to day. The other guys do on the podcast, but I try to avoid it now. It's addicting.
what have been sort of your biggest wins so far this season?
And the year game, I'm in love that I took Jimmy Graham and Austin Safran Jake in so many leagues. I'm so happy about that. They are just saving my butt. They both just followed me in the right places, and I'm happy-ish. I didn't reach for a tight end anywhere.
That seems to be that whenever you can get away with not reaching for a guy, that definitely is a victory for sure.
Yep.
All right, Armando. Well, where can people find you?
You can find me at Thunder Crespo on all formats, and you can find the pod at Eat Sleep Fantasy on everything, or Eat Sleep FF, one of the two.
Excellent. Armando, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. And I don't need to wish you good luck in our matchup, because it's going to be a fairly easy victory for you.
I'm feeling it. It feels good.
All right. This is Don, the Ravens superfan. I'm on here with Andy, the Dolphins superfan. How you doing, Andy?
I am doing quite well. I cannot believe we're 4-2.
Yeah, I'm very surprised as well. I mean, defense has been playing really, really well for you guys. I'm very surprised, even with, you know, Jay Cutler being there, who I'm not the biggest fan of. You guys have surprised me as well.
Yeah, well, you're not going to see Cutler this week, unluckily for you.
We could use a couple turnovers. That would definitely help our defense out. As far as what you think, Andy, how do you think this – what do you see happening in this game? What gives you some reasons for optimism?
So there, if you're a Dolphins fan, the reasons for optimism going into this game are centered around, frankly, Joe Flacco and the offense. I've been paying close attention to the Ravens this year because, you know, the Ravens are always, as a Dolphins fan, I fancy myself the fan of a team who's in the wild card hunt. I fancy the Ravens, and perennially speaking, fancy the Ravens, the team that's always in the wild card hunt. So I've paid close attention to the Ravens all year, and Joe Flacco looks awful. He looks, I mean, I've never been the biggest Flacco guy. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that. I think he's Jake DeLome with a ring, basically, is what he is. But I have to admit, Joe Flacco is much better than he's looked so far. I mean, he is just throwing absolute ducks off of his back foot. He looks so bad. And that's why I'm kind of cautiously optimistic going into this game, is that we get to play Joe Flacco and this Ravens offense. Mike Wallace broke his head. He might not be there. If he's not there, if Macklin's not there, oh my goodness, who the heck is he throwing to? Now, having said all that, Joe Flacco in his career, and you can fact check this for me if you'd like, Joe Flacco in his career is 8-0 against the Miami Dolphins, 7-0 in the regular season, and then, of course, that wild card weekend victory his rookie year. The guy just doesn't lose to us. He just has our number. And we actually have never won in Baltimore, and this predates Flacco. This goes back to Dilfer, Tony Banks, and other quarterbacks. The Dolphins franchise has actually never won in Baltimore, in M&T Bank Stadium, PSINet Stadium, whatever you used to call it back in the 90s.
Yep, exactly.
So history is, given the history we have against the organization and the history we have against Flacco, that is not on our side. But I would say, just on paper, I don't see how the Ravens accumulate 220 yards of offense, total offense against us. Now, I guess my question to you is, where am I wrong about that?
I really don't think you're wrong on that. I mean, I've watched some putrid offenses in my day. You know, I've watched, you know, the Tony Banks era, the Elvis Gerback era, Kyle Bowler, Steve McNair on his last legs. I've seen some terrible offenses, but so much turnover, so many injuries, and, you know, the guys that didn't have any depth to begin with. And when some of your top players get hurt, you're going to be hurting. Just look at, you know, the receiving core. I mean, the offensive line. I mean, I think, you know, whoever we end up stuffing in at right guard, I think Sue could just have a field day with him. I mean, Flacco will just be hit all game long. I don't know off the top, like, how you guys stack up against the run. I mean, in my mind, that's the lone bright spot we have on offense is the running backs, and, you know, specifically Alex Collins. They just don't give him the ball nearly enough. I don't know if that's, you know, game flow, you know, being down in points. And that has a lot to do with it. He's not much of a pass catcher. But if we look for any kind of explosive play on offense, it's got to be through him. I mean, with Mike Wallace having the concussion on Sunday, I don't see him coming back for Thursday. Perriman still hasn't practiced yet. He's still in the protocol. And Macklin's still nursing the shoulder injury. So, I mean, to kind of answer the question you had to begin with, they're going to have Chris Moore out there, Michael Campanaro, Griff Whalen, who they signed last week. And do you know that Griff Whalen has had 4 catches for 24 yards in his first game with us last week? For the entire season, Rashad Perriman has 4 catches for 34 yards. If you want to just run those numbers in your head, just an absolute mess. I mean, we've had some draft busts in our time, but he could be the worst we've ever had, and that goes for
Perriman's as busty as they come. And if you remember, actually, the last time we played was December of last year. You obviously remember that game. Flacco lit us up, and Perriman actually had a very impressive catch and run touchdown. He took a 7-yard slant, you know, 50 yards. And when I saw him streaking down the field, running away from Byron Maxwell or whatever futile Dolphins defensive back was trying to cover him, I was like, you know what? It makes sense now. This is what a first round receiver is supposed to look like. He's supposed to take 7-yard slants for 57-yard touchdown. But it hasn't come together for Perriman. And the thing is, though, when you look at the Ravens offense and how inept they are, I can't help but think that a lot of it is just bad luck. Because, you know, you look at the offensive line, Marshall Yanda is one of the best at his craft. You guys have had a solid offensive line for a long time. Well, everyone's hurt. You look at the receiving core, Mike Wallace, and I'm a Dolphins fan. I know everything there is to know about Mike Wallace as a football player. But Wallace has gone over 1,000 yards with three different quarterbacks in this league. He is a productive NFL receiver. Jeremy Maclin is a productive NFL receiver. Rashad Perriman was, you know, the 11th overall pick of the draft or whatever he was. So you look at the Ravens receiving core, and you can see Ozzie Newsome's plan. It's not like you guys are the Browns, for instance, where you don't see a plan in place. You're like, wait, what were they thinking? Like, you look at the Ravens roster, you look at their offense, you look at their receiving core, you could see the plan. You could see Ozzie Newsome thinking, okay, I have three guys with plus speed in Maclin, Wallace, and Perriman. Flacco has a plus arm, which is going to be bombed away all year. Well, it hasn't worked out that way. Where do you think, where do you put the state of the Ravens backfield between Buck Allen and Alex Collins? Because Buck Allen, I think I've seen everything I need to see from him. He strikes me as a very average NFL talent. And don't get me wrong, average has value for sure. But, you know, Alex Collins is intriguing to me. Where is their split in carries right now, and where do you think it should be?
I think as far as the snaps go, I still think Buck Allen is out-snapping him. Again, just being down in these games, you know, just have him as the check-down back. I mean, you can say Buck Allen is an average back, but there's no explosiveness really with that. I mean, he had the one big gain, I believe it was against the Browns in week two. He took a catch down to about the 2-yard line, but he doesn't have any real quickness or shifty moves. I mean, Alex Collins, he had well documented, he had the fumbling issues early in the season, hasn't fumbled since. And he's the guy to bounce it, bounce it to the outside around the tackle and just get you 20, 30 yards out of a run that should maybe get you no yards. He's a smaller guy, but he still has that real bruising style. I mean, it's got to go to him at this point. There's nothing else that they've tried everything else. You know, the tight ends who were, 35-year-old Ben Watson and a bunch of other injured scrubs. Obviously, the receiver injuries. Hopefully, Maclin comes back this week, but I have my doubts on that. Still, in my mind, it's got to be Alex Collins. I think it's the only way they're going to have any success. And that's going to be hard to do because, Dolphins have had a really good defense so far.
Yeah, we're actually number three against the run right now. We just gave up last week, or yesterday rather, we gave up 91 rushing yards on 22 carries to the Jets. And that's not great, but it's not terrible. But another thing about that 91 yards, and I know that you can't do this. This is very much an unfair exercise to say, well, if you take this away, I understand that. But if you take Bilal Powell's 26-yard scamper on a broken play away, that 91 carries or 91 yards on 22 carries all of a sudden becomes a very paltry 65 yards on 21 carries. And listen, I understand you can't do that. You can't take away the biggest run. But we've been very good this year against the run, frankly. What worries me in this game, there's two things that worry me in this game. Number one, the Ravens defense overall. And number two, it's going to sound weird, but Joe Flacco scares the hell out of me. The guy's never lost. He carves us up every single time. That game from last year, where I believe Joe Flacco at halftime had more touchdown passes than incomplete passes. And I don't think I'm making that up. I think he was something like 16 and 17.
No, I think you're right on that.
But yeah, I mean, Flacco scares the heck out of me. Talk to me about your defense. The Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens have gotten to the point, very much like the Denver Broncos, I think, are also at this point, where the Ravens defense is, on a year-in, year-out basis, they are institutionally good. And by institutionally good, what I mean is the names and the faces change, the coordinators change, the names and the faces change, but the Ravens, very much like the Broncos, very much like the Panthers, their defense is just institutionally, innately good. Talk to me about how you guys got there, and do you guys legitimately have a good defense this year, or am I just saying that off of your reputation?
No, they're not good this year. I mean, the first 2 weeks they had, the great games. They had, five turnovers and, each of the first two games, but they have not looked good well. I mean, they had on the defensive line, they had Brandon Williams and they had Carl Davis come back on the defensive line. It didn't seem to matter because Latavius Murray just, along with McKinnon just gashed him, and not even just, a lucky, run to the outside, just right between the tackles, just the entire game. Case Keenan wasn't going to get anything done. The safeties, you know, Tony Jefferson, who was a big free agent addition, and Eric Weddle have been porous as well.
Weddle was Tony really Jefferson, good last year, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yeah, Tony Jefferson is not really a guy you kind of like put like in center field. Like they're trying to make him like Weddle, but you know, from what I know of him, he's more of a play closer, you know, play at the linebacker level, closer to the line of scrimmage, you know, get in the backfield, make tackles, you know, help in the run game. And that's not how they're playing him. I would say, I mean, the corners, Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr, have been lights out this year. I've been very impressed with them. Marlon Humphrey is getting more snaps, you know, as a rookie, we'll see. I mean, if the Dolphins want success in the passing game, they need to do what everybody else does and go after whoever Lardarius Webb is covering. Because Lardarius Webb, unfortunately, has to play a lot of nickel this year, and he's just getting burned every single time. He's an older guy. He does not have the you can get beat a little bit, but there's no recovery speed there. Once they make a cut, it's done. So if Matt Moore is going to have success in the air, find number 21 on the Ravens, and whoever's on him, throw it to him because he's going to have success. And like I said, well, I mean, I think Ajayi.
Yeah, you saying that Ladarius Webb plays nickel is encouraging to me because nickel cornerbacks typically cover the slot guys, and the slot guy in the Dolphins is named Jarvis Landry, and he's very, very good.
Jarvis Landry could just chew him up.
So that's exciting for me to hear. You know, Ladarius Webb, really quickly as an aside on him, he's had an interesting career. He was a very, very promising young player for you guys in the late 2000s, early teens. Very, very promising young cornerback. And then he got hurt before the Super Bowl. Missed like an entire year. And please do correct me if I'm wrong in this. I don't think I am. He got hurt like in January before the Super Bowl. Missed an entire year. Then he comes back. All of a sudden he sucks at corner. So they move him to safety. And then he plays okay again. And now you guys are moving him back to corner. Am I reading that correctly?
Well, he got hurt in the Super Bowl year against Dallas, the same game that Ray Lewis did, tore his ACL, which he'd already torn one before. So he came back. He was not in good shape really the year after. Last year they had him at safety. And again, he's not as much on the line of scrimmage, so he has some room for error. He was good at safety last year. He was very good, but having to force him into slot corners or getting some more younger guys healthy, it's not been good. Yeah, Jarvis Landry could. You know, as good as he is, he could have a monster night.
Who do you think, assuming Devontae Parker doesn't play, which it doesn't look like he will, so that's good for you guys. Assuming yes. Parker doesn't play, who do you think Smith gets as an assignment? Because he's your best, and we don't really have anyone I think can beat him one-on-one. So I think the Dolphins are just going to sacrifice someone to Jimmy Smith. Who do you think that is?
I would assume, you know, Kenny Stills, I guess. I mean, that would be my guess.
Yeah, probably. Probably would be Stills.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jimmy Smith's a bigger guy, but he still has some speed, so I could see him, you know, locking in on Kenny Stills all game. And again, but Matt Morris is going to follow my advice. Find Lardarius Webb, and that's your weak link. I mean, even having said that, the pass rush hasn't been there lately either. Especially, you know, right up the middle. So, I mean, if Matt Moore is able to step up in the pocket, I mean, he's a competent quarterback. He could definitely have some success against us. There's no question.
Before we get into our predictions, just really quickly, I want to ask you something about your tight ends. It seems like not that long ago, you guys really had an embarrassment of riches at tight end. You had, you know, of course, Dennis Pitta, who was, as recently as like 2 years ago, was playing at a Pro Bowl level. In addition to Pitta, you had Ed Dixon, who's now a starter, a flawed starter, but a starter for the Panthers. And then on top of that, you draft the kid Max Williams, that redheaded kid that everyone loved in college. So it seems like not that long ago, you guys were very deep and very talented at tight end. And now you just don't hear anything from Ravens tight ends. Kind of walk me through how that's happened.
I mean, Pitta had his third off-season hip injury, which knocked him out, and hopefully he ends up retiring, which for his own sake, it's over. Hopefully he realizes that. They have Crockett Gilmore, who was a third-round pick a couple years ago, more of a blocking tight end, but have a little bit of success in the air. But he got hurt immediately early on. He's done. Max Williams came in from the offseason. They had some kind of special, like, experimental knee surgery on him. Like they said, it's a surgery that's never been done before in an athlete. Never said what it was, and he's been banged up as he always is. So he's been out. Ben Watson, you know, 35 years old, coming off of the Achilles, who has been – he's a starter, but he's not – he's only had – I think it was maybe the Browns game where he had some success. But he hasn't done a whole lot.
I mean, Watson's guy, been in the league for a decade now. We know who he is. He can have big games. He had some big games in New Orleans too, but he is what he is.
Yeah. Nothing to game plan around if I'm the Dolphins. They just signed Gavin Escobar today. He was a former second-round pick out of for the Cowboys several years ago. I don't expect anything out of him, but who knows? I mean, can't do any worse than what we have right now. So, I mean, you have – and they also had a guy, Darren Waller, who was a converted wide receiver on a tight end, and he's out for the year with I believe it's a drug suspension. So, which is always
lovely.
Good, always helpful.
Yep. Lovely. So what do you think? What are you thinking as far as predictions here?
I think we keep up the streak of just being dominated on the ground. I think Ajayi. I don't see Ajayi maybe necessarily having big chunk runs, but, you know, 5 yards here, 6 yards here, keep it under control. They get a little bit of pressure on Matt Moore, but not enough to force multiple turnovers. I think the Ravens have a little bit more success on the ground because they're at home. I think they'll hopefully keep feeding Alex Collins, but I'm thinking, say, 21-13 Dolphins is my prediction.
Yeah, that's a decent score. I'm gonna take the Ravens here. As you know, I am a pessimistic Dolphins fan by my very nature. Most millennial Dolphins fans like myself, who are too young to remember Marino, are. Going to take the Ravens. I'm going to take the Ravens 21-20, basically by sole virtue of the fact that we've never beaten Joe Flacco, nor have we ever won in that building. And this Dolphin team is probably considerably worse than our 4-2 record would indicate. Give me the Ravens at home, but it's going to be close. And, you know, back to what you said about Ajayi, I think Jay Ajayi's production on the ground is completely dependent on Julius Thomas and Anthony Fasano's pass-catching production at tight end. If Thomas and Fasano combine to catch 6 balls for 60 or 70 yards, I think that's enough to get the linebackers to take that one step back. And the one step back on 1st and 10, that's the difference between a 2-yard run that brings up 2nd and 8 and a 5-yard run that brings up 2nd and 5. And if the Baltimore linebackers have to respect our tight ends of the passing game, it'll help Ajayi a lot. I'm not sure they will, though. I have no idea what to expect from Matt Moore. Yeah, give me the Ravens 21-20.
All right. Well, I mean, I hope you're right, and I'm sure you hope I'm right. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting I'll be there Thursday night. So, I mean, it'll be a fun night, as always, going to a Ravens game. But, you know, I'm not overly optimistic, but we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Take care, Don. I'll talk to you after after the game.
Will do. Thanks, Andy.
There go Andrew and Don. Really don't have much to add, as I always say, to what their breakdown was of this Thursday game. This is the 15th time that the two teams have met. The Ravens lead the series 8-6, and six of their past 7 meetings have been in the W column for the Ravens versus the Dolphins. That's dating back to 2008 and includes a wild card meeting back in 2008. Andrew mentioned something about the playoffs. I don't see the Dolphins as a playoff team. That is just crazy fan talk there by a super fan. But Miami does come off of a big emotional victory over the Jets. Now they go on the road at Baltimore. Andrew mentioned that they've had difficulty beating Joe Flacco and the Ravens and had difficulty winning in Baltimore. But Jarvis Landry and Kenny Stills have really picked up the pace here as Devontae Parker is out. And we'll be watching that injury for sure. But Having Jarvis Landry and Kenny Stills certainly helps Matt Moore. And I do think Matt Moore is going to make the most of his potential starting spot. It's very unlikely Jay Cutler is going to be in this game either. And so it comes down to Joe Flacco. Now, the last time Flacco met, and you heard that mentioned in the breakdown, he completed 36 of 47 attempts. That's 76.6% of his passes, 381 yards, 4 touchdowns. That was in December of 2016. Baltimore won that game 38-6. It's a difficult one. It really is, because Flacco's not playing like that at the present time. And I do really like the way that Matt Moore looked at the end of that Jets game. The line is 3 points for Baltimore. Baltimore will be giving 3 points. I'm going to take the points. It's been one of those odd instances where the away team has been winning on the short week on Thursday Night Football. I think that streak will eventually break, but it's not going to be this week. I'm going to take Miami. And I will recommend to stay away from it because it is one that with the NFL has been weird this year. It really has. I mean, everything says that Baltimore should win, but I really do think it's going to be Miami's game. I say everything says Baltimore should win in terms of the stats that don't really matter. And the stats that do matter, I think Miami's got the advantage here. And that's why I'm ultimately going to go with Miami in this particular game. So what do you think? Send in those emails. Send in your tweets, nextfanup@gmail.com, @NFU Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, talk with you. Tomorrow, we'll bring you the entirety of Week 8. We're at the midway point, ladies and gentlemen. Midway through the season already. Who would have thought? We'll bring you all of the previews and predictions. Some big point spreads as I'm looking here already. Ooh, Philadelphia, double-digit point. You know I don't like going against double-digit point spreads, but man. Oh, Cincinnati, double digits too. Oh, we're going to have a lot to talk about on the Thursday podcast. Hope you can join us. See you then. Here's Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.